there was a handout in the bulletin that mentioned some of the activities that we can do during Lent to feel closer to God. And one of the things that it mentioned that we can do is give up television and internet for a whole day. And I saw that and I just kind of laughed. I mean, can you imagine? Who here thinks that they could do it? Because, okay, well, good for you. I would struggle. I really would. One of the things that can drive me crazy is when I'm over at the school and it's this big metal building and all you see is no service the whole time that you're in there. And I feel like I'm disconnected. So I would definitely struggle. Can be frustrating. But, you know, I like Lent. The reason why is, for me, it's a time of year when the tone changes a little bit, and it serves as a sharp reminder to me of what the fabric of Christian faith that connects us to Jesus is really made of. We did the stations today. We'll do the musical tonight. We have Palm Sunday, Holy Thursday, Good Friday, all of these special things that we do during this time of year. These things and some of the others can serve to increase the signal strength that connects me to God. It's not unlike a cell phone or a Wi-Fi signal strength. It can really change and waver depending on where I am and what I'm doing. That signal is always very strong here in church, but when you go outside the doors, there's plenty of interference that's out there that can get in the way and block that signal. But during Lent, because of these extra things that we do, it feels to me like that signal-to-noise ratio is maybe just a little bit stronger and helps me get through the week. I watched a program recently that's about a young man who's really fed up. The interference has gotten under his skin to the point that no other signal can get through. His world as he sees it is built on nothing more than just fantasy. Synthetic emotions come in the form of pills that we take, not real happiness. Psychological warfare comes in the form of advertising and propaganda, and there's brainwashing seminars in the form of political media. He's about to do something big to make his mark. His focus is not on increasing the signal strength of his connection to God, but rather his signal strength and his ability to influence the world. He perceives his ability to influence the world that frustrates him so much is really insignificant when he plays by the rules. So he's going to destroy the rules, not just for him, but for everyone. He tells a story of when he was a kid, 6 years old, where his dad picked him up from school and they went to the beach to hang out for a bit. When he got home, his sneakers were full of sand and he dumped the sand out on the floor. He didn't know any better at that age, but his mother yelled at him. Then his dad said, "Don't worry about it, son. Billions of years ago, the world shifting and ocean moving brought that sand to that spot on the beach, and then he took it away in his shoe. Every day, we change the world just a little bit." He liked the thought that his dad gave him that made him recognize the significance of such a small thing as getting sand in his shoe. But now, as an adult, that story really only served to frustrate him. Now he thinks about how many days, and lifetimes even, he would need to bring a shoe full of sand home until there was no beach. Mm-hmm. Until it actually made a difference. Every day we change the world, but to change the world in a way that means anything, he believes that takes more than most people have. It's slow, it's methodical, and it can be exhausting. You know, they say that the road to hell is paved with good intentions. Trying to change the world more than just one shoe full of sand at a time can lead you down this road if your connection to God is severed. God is love and God is forgiveness. Hell is the place where there is no God. So it stands to reason that hell is where there is no love and where there is no forgiveness. When you are in a place where you have no room in your life for love and forgiveness, then what is the name of this place that you are in? You know that there are many different ways that people describe sin. It can come in the form of bad words and bad deeds, But those are just examples of the effects of sin. We could spend all day describing the various sinful acts that are committed in the world and still not cover it unless we calibrate our understanding of it just a little bit. It's so simple when we come to understand that we are all sinners, not because of the things that we say or do, or when we say and do things that we shouldn't do. Sin is really nothing more than separating ourselves from God. We sin when we allow that connection to say, no service. Jesus was in the desert for 40 days, and his connection never faltered, not even when put to the ultimate test. The reading from 2 Timothy says, bear your share of hardship for the gospel with the strength that comes from God. We are called to a holy life, not of our own works, but according to his own design. It is not up to us to shift more than one shoe full of sand for our own idea of what is good, but to be the shoe that moves the sand for God. When we move the sand that way, sometimes we move mountains. It was so touching to hear Nancy tell the story of Bob's corneas recently to be the gift of sight to another grateful person. One shoe full of sand made all the difference in the world. When I hear about the things that our outreach efforts have done for people who have hit a low spot, the one shoe full of sand makes all the difference for those people too. We have so many different ways that we can move the sand. Abram went as the Lord directed him. Peter, James, and John were not to talk about the vision, just to follow Jesus. The vision was not meant to make Peter, James, and John more influential. It was meant to bring them closer to God, to be instruments of his will. We can all end up in our own personal deserts on our own, with no sign of relief or salvation in sight. We are surrounded by other people who are wandering in their own deserts, whether they're there because of the loss of a job, loss of their family or a close loved one, or they're suffering from disease without the ability to pay for medical treatment, or they're trapped in the clutches of addiction. We can look at the world like this and sometimes say it's too painful to look. We might talk about how the world is going to the dogs, and it feels like there is nothing we or anybody else can do about it. It's easier sometimes to just look the other way. Sometimes it's too much to bear, and the frustration can no longer be contained, though, even if you do look away. More than once, I've been to that place where I'm angry and accusingly ask the empty air around me, where is God? I can't do anything about this. Where are you? The signal is still out there, trying to find the receptor. The signal only gets weaker when I block it out. When I block it out, those questions remain unanswered. But when I'm open to the signal, an answer usually comes to me that says, now that you've admitted that you alone can't do anything about this, when are you going to make room for God to help you? And then it usually follows up with, now why don't you make yourself useful and fill your shoe up with some of this sand that I've been waiting for you to move. God is love. God is forgiveness. Be open to it and offer it generously. And you move sand not to remove the beach, but to build God's kingdom right here on earth.